Morning to each of you. I too greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, to receive encouragement. Thank you, Brother Wesley, for that devotional. I hope that this morning the thoughts that I share with you will help us build up that, I guess you could call it, a wall of protection. I want to think about, when I think about the wall of protection, I mean it in a positive way, so that we don't get caught in the devil's snare. You can open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to take one more message from Philippians. And this morning I'm thinking about our thought life, and more than just our thought life, I'd hope to provide encouragement through this passage to help us maintain a positive outlook on life. I think this is the third message that I've taken from the book of Philippians in the past few months. And I know that some of the points that I share this morning will be a review. Apostle Paul, the writer, repeats himself several times, but I trust that we can be blessed. And I think that probably goes to show his passion for the church at Philippi, his desire for them to overcome their troubles and be a light for God in their community. Before I read Philippians chapter 4, I'd like to look at a couple other verses. Matthew chapter 15, verses 16 through 20, Jesus teaches that what is in the heart comes out in action. Matthew 15, verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So what is in the heart comes out in action. And if what is in the heart is evil, then those actions are defiling. Proverbs 23 verse 7 also brings this out. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That means that if the thoughts or the thought process is evil, then evil actions will come forth. And back to Brother Wesley's devotions, when we think about the snare of the devil, that's where he starts in our thought life. I think most of us here this morning know Christ is our Savior. We want to do what is right. But even then, the devil attacks us by bringing thoughts to our mind that are wrong, and we need to deal with it. Sometimes those thoughts come as a sudden attack. Maybe we see something and lustful thoughts, we struggle with them. Or maybe something wrong happens to us and we struggle with anger. Then there are other times that the attacks may come on more gradual, and we hardly realize that we're sinking into a less than desirable state of mind. Maybe we've suffered a series of setbacks or a series of struggles, and our outlook on life becomes negative, becomes bitter, and then all of a sudden we're faced with the reality that these thoughts and attitudes are not God-honoring. And they're affecting how I view life. They affect how I treat others. And more importantly, they're affecting how I view God. This morning for our discussion, the heart and mind will be very closely related. I'd like to think that the heart is the seat of our thoughts. So if our heart is toward God, and we have a relationship with him, then we will desire to think right thoughts. will be controlled internally. But you know, if that relationship is not there, then only external motives will pressure us to do right. And those external motives fall short of affecting our mind. For example, someone may not injure another when they become angry physically, but in their heart, they have thoughts of hate. They know that to do something physically, they would have to pay for it. But in their heart, the reaping is not as immediate. But we know that God's word says that, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So those thoughts are wrong. And it could be the other way. Maybe we feel like we need to have everything going our way and going well for us, and then we can think right thoughts. And that's just as wrong. I have about 8 points here from Philippians chapter 4. So I'd like to read verses 1 through 7 at this time. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'll stop reading there and we'll pick it up later. I know that whenever we think of Philippians chapter 4 in our thought life, we always go to verse 8, or we often do, and we'll get there, but I have a number of points from all of these verses. The first one is from verse 1, stand fast in the Lord. And again, I'm back to what is in our heart. What do we really want? What is my desire? If our desire is for worldly pleasure, then we will think worldly thoughts. And we will think thoughts of how can I please the flesh? Because it comes back to the heart, the seat of our thoughts. If we're living for God, then we have something to build on. And as we face temptation, we can stand fast in the Lord. Standing fast means that we will be one with our Lord in His desires for us. And we know that His desire is for us to be holy and to be pure. We know that it's His desire for us to be His servant or disciple. So we need to be under His lordship, submitting to it. How do you think this will affect our thoughts and our attitudes and our outlook on life? Well, Philippians chapter 2 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the mind of the Christian will mirror the mind of Christ. No matter what we face, this is the test. With this basis, we can be overcomers, and we will say, Lord, I want what you want for me. Second point, verses 2 and 3, be of the same mind in the Lord. In chapter 1, verse 27, expounds on this a little more. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I believe that one of the greatest tools the devil uses to bring people down is discouragement. And this can happen a number of ways if we let it in relating to church life. But it also can be the greatest blessing God gives us if we're willing to be one with each other. And since we're thinking positively this morning, let's consider how this will help us look up in our outlook in life. If we're standing, or if we're of the same mind in the Lord, we will say in our hearts, I belong here. I belong here. When my goal is to serve God and yours is the same, we can unify as a group. And as long as this is our goal, we can stay together. When one loses their sense of belonging, whether it's in family or a circle of friends, or here that we're talking about this morning, the brethren, the path to discouragement is opened up and morale for the goal is lost. So if we're of the same mind in the Lord, we will belong together. Also, we have something to work for, the faith of the gospel. Sometimes we're tempted to become selfish in our pursuits, in what we think the church should be working for, and that goal becomes blurry. We think we hear different voices, and we become discouraged. We think we're alone in the task. But the reality is, the faith of the gospel covers a wide range of activities, and all of these are part of normal church life. So for the young people, yes, it is good for you to volunteer your service in church activities. And for the young fathers, it'll be it is your responsibility to make a living, to provide for your family. That's part of church life. And for mothers, it's you're in the home, serving your family like that. And then all together, we're witnesses for Christ as we meet people in the community and talk to them. That's all part of church life. And the goal is the faith of the gospel. Let's remember that we're among our own people and we're working for the same cause together. If we look at it this way, it'll take care of thoughts of contention, thoughts of rivalry, and thoughts of who is the most important among us. One spirit, one goal, and yes, we do at times like these two people here, Eodius and Syntyche, need reminded from this time to time. It takes submission on our part. But when we align ourselves with God and with His people, it will help us tremendously in building our mental health and our outlook on life. All right, my third point is found in the next verse, verse 4, rejoice. And it's so important that Apostle Paul emphasizes it by saying the second time, rejoice. A heart that is rejoicing will produce thoughts of thanksgiving, thoughts of praise for what God has done for us. Rejoicing is a result of that deep, settled peace, knowing our sins are forgiven and our life is in God's hands. We all like being around people that are joyful because they have a positive impact on us. And we need to be part of those people, that joyful people. But the thing about it is, we must first experience the joy of the Lord. And when we do that, it will show. That's when we can have that positive impact on others. We will see God in the details of life. Though we may not understand, we can rejoice. We know that God is in control and all will be well. And that sets us free from the bondage of despair. Fourthly, verse 5, moderation in our thoughts. You might wonder, how does moderation come into play when we think about our thought life? But I'm thinking about avoid becoming obsessed. I think we've all met people like this, where they've become obsessed with something. It's all they talk about. Seems like all they think about. Well, what happens when we become obsessed in our thought life? I think that it sets one up for a real disappointment if things don't work out. Maybe we settle for less than what God has for us because our obsession makes us impatient. Yes, it is okay to get excited about things, but with moderation, we're told here. And our verse says to do it with keeping in mind that the Lord is at hand. And I think that's a good guide to go by. If we're facing the temptation with obsession, we should ask, will this last into eternity? How will what am I excited about affect my relationship with God? And is it beneficial to my brethren? Moderation in thoughts will lead to moderation in action. Sometimes what we read affects us, and we can build castles of dreams in our mind, and then it's really hard for us to face life in reality. So let's be careful with what we fill our minds with, so we stay focused on what God wants us to focus on. Most times when we think of moderation, we think of excesses, people indulging in, like, maybe playing too much, eating too much. But let's remember to be disciplined in what we think about. Fifthly, verses 6 and 7, the peace of God. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Isaiah 57:19-21, I create the fruit of the lips, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. True peace comes from God. It doesn't necessarily mean all is going easy outwardly, but real peace is tested when we can face the hard situations in life with calmness and serenity. One of the counterfeits of true peace that I see in people, and even deal with it in my own life, is this maybe a fatalistic, I don't care what happens attitude. I think this is actually born out of bitterness, and we need to be careful with that. God wants us to face the disappointments in life, understanding that he is in control, and he is working out all things for our eternal good. And as a matter of fact, the answer to how we handle disappointments and worry and anxiety is found here in verse 6. And I like the way the Amplified Bible says it. It says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Casting our cares, our needs, even our wants onto God through prayer and then trusting Him. Doing that will calm a troubled Christian. I think we do need to be honest. We cannot do everything that we want to do. There are many problems we cannot fix that we wish we could. And there are many things that we do not even understand. But we can cast our cares upon God, and He is able to carry them. He is able to meet each need that we face, and then replace those thoughts of worry or disappointment with thanksgiving. It would be fruitless to cast our cares upon God and then continue to carry them. So let's replace those thoughts with thoughts of good thing, thanksgiving, thoughts of praise. I get the idea that the peace of God is protection from verse 7. If our mind is anchored in Christ Jesus, we will be protected from many mental battles. All right, I'd like to read verses 8 to verse 20. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now to verse 8. My point from this verse is faithfully fill our minds with good things, using this verse as our guide to what is good. Truth, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, excellence, and those things worthy of praise. Can you imagine what our world would be like if everyone used this guide? No hate, no evil imaginations, no evil imaginations about others, no lust, no covetousness or envy. That would be a lovely place to live, wouldn't it? But it does take the power of God to control our minds, and we live in a world where many reject Him. But this morning I ask, we're part of the church. How much strife and contention could be avoided if we would choose to dwell on these things instead of the faults and shortcomings of others? So maybe when that person rubs us the wrong way, we need to say, is it true? Am I thinking honestly about this situation? Am I being just? The same is true when we hear gossip. Is it true? Is it just? Let's stop it in its tracks. Our mental outlook will be so much better if we choose to dwell on these things. The next point is found in verse 9. Those things ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me do. You might wonder what this has to do with our thought life. But the point that I take from this is we need to spend time thinking and meditating on the law of God. That's what we do with the Word of God. We learn from it, we receive it, and we hear it. Meditating on the law of God is especially important when we're making decisions and we're trying to decide God's will in a matter. We should be considering what God's Word says about whatever we're facing. But it's also important that we study the Word of God just to be spiritually enriched, to draw strength from it. The more we meditate on the Word and allow its truth to sink into our heart, the stronger we will become spiritually. So I'm encouraged when I hear of Bible studies and scriptural discussions. That's a blessing. Then the last point, it encompasses a lot from verses 10 to verse 20. But my point is, think on others. How can I serve? How can I be a good influence? How can I help others or show them that I care? And I get that from how the church at Philippi sent gifts to Apostle Paul, and he appreciated that. And more than that, he points out that it was a sacrifice to God, and God was pleased by their sacrifice in that they helped Apostle Paul. How can we do this? How can we communicate with others in their affliction or whatever they're going through? We do it by showing our support and showing that we care. Getting our thoughts off of ourselves and on the interests of others is beneficial to our thought life and our outlook on life. So in closing, I'd just like to say all of us face temptation in our thought life. I think that it's the first place that we're attacked so often by the devil. And it's on a wide range of issues. We don't always, we aren't always attacked at the same place. But I hope this morning that this little study, we can be enriched by this little study. And yes, that wall of fortitude could be raised against the snare of the devil. So let's stand fast in the Lord. Be of the same mind with the brethren. Rejoice. Use temperance in our thoughts. Let the peace of God flood our minds. Use the tests of verse 8 to guard our thoughts. Dwell on the law of God and think on the good of others.